Actually, we'll be continuing with what we did last week on prayer. We'll just be finishing up this week. And then after that, we'll just have a break before the service, okay? We'll be finishing on Jesus teaching on prayer specifically, okay? So welcome Sister Sharon back. Yeah, thank God that she can be here today. So hopefully you'll be able to be understandable and useful for us, okay, in the area of prayer. Let's pray and as we start the Sunday Bible Hour, okay? Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your grace and your love for us. We know, Lord, that it is through your love that we can find forgiveness of sin. Through your love that we can find the grace to live as a Christian from day to day. It is through your love, Lord, that we are able to continue on and press on because of what you have done for us. Lord, this morning as we want to understand a bit more about prayer, about what you taught about prayer and what are things we need to do so that our praying life, our prayer life will be stronger. And Father, I ask you to teach us, for those who are here, that Lord, our prayer lives, our spiritual life will be improved, and that Lord, we will have a greater relationship, Lord, with you. Like many of us, sometimes communication between even humans and humans is a problem, but yet Lord, in order to improve that relationship, we need to communicate. And so, Lord, we ask you to speak to us about what it means to pray to you. We thank you for what you're going to do with the Sunday school. We thank you for the children that have come. And I pray, Lord, that we'll continue to grow and improve. That, Father, by your grace, Lord, we will grow as a church, as individuals, and as families. That, Father, that the world may see Christ and his love through us. We thank you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so in the prayer, talk about the fact that humans and humans interaction sometimes breaks down because of the lack of communication, all right, interaction. And all the more, in our relationship with Christ, our communication need to be absolutely tight so that we can grow, okay? So, for those who just come, I hope, does everyone have today's, last week's prayer notes? If you don't have, I did print about 15 more. Okay, just in case, if you don't have, you just take from the side. I'll just quickly give you some elements of prayer very quickly, all right? I won't go through at all because last week we went through already. Some of the elements that of prayer that Jesus taught was we only pray in Jesus' name, all right? Because he's our mediator. No one can go to God the Father except through the Lord Jesus Christ, okay? Number two, our prayers needs to be continuous, meaning needs to be persevering, all right? Needs to be persevering. Okay, the notes are from last week. For those who have just come in, all right, we'll just be finishing up today. Okay, point number two, our prayers need to be continuous, need to be persevering, all right? It can't be we pray today and then we stop. We need to have a heart of persevering in prayer. Number three, our private prayers determine the success of our public life or our public prayers. Okay, put it this way, it's easier to live publicly in the right way, then live privately, okay? Because privately, no one sees, and we think that no one sees. And so we do things our way, we kind of live life the way we want to live. But you know, really, that's our private life that's more important to God than our public life. Of course, a public life must be consistent with the private life. So our private prayers are more important, determine the success of our public life. Okay, number four, public prayer is a necessity in the life of God's people. Every Christian need to make it a point to be at a public place when there's a set time for prayer meeting, for example, unless there is what we call a providential hindering. That means if you're sick, there was one time I was on my way to Sunday school in Australia and my car broke down on a highway that's 50 kilometers long. Okay, so I called my pastor, sorry, I can't make it for Sunday school. But thank God there was someone nearby. He gave me a canister of fuel, about 4 liters, that takes me to at least a suburb. All right. In Australia, at one time, petrol stations, certain petrol stations are open on Sundays. And you need to go and find the petrol station. All right, they believe in, so on Sundays they don't work. Not all the petrol stations work, only selected ones. Okay, so I need to go and find. Thank God I found it and was able to at least make it for service. All right, but that's called a providential hindering. That means something happens that stops you from being in church. Okay, however, if we're not in church because we choose to, that's wrong. Okay, so we need to be Those who just came in, we're just reviewing last week's one before we finish up Jesus' teaching on prayer, okay? Public prayer is a necessity in the life of God's people, okay? And we mentioned also the prayer meeting is a spiritual thermometer of the life of the local church, okay? Point number five, our prayers need to be reverential. Our prayers need to be reverential. In other words, when we speak to God, He is our God. He's not our friend, okay? Yes, God calls us His friend, but we are, He is God. And if He is God, then we need to treat Him as God. So yesterday, we were just watching a little bit of the charity and the charity show yesterday, and we realized that there's a lot of people of prominence, like a president and all that, are trying to kind of mix in with the crowd so that it's like trying to, I don't know, just kind of act human in a sense, you know? Because all the people in public places, or rather public office, is oftentimes seen as high and lofty. I think they're trying to change the image. Oh, we're just with the people as well. Okay? But we must never forget our God is still God. The moment we treat God as a buddy-buddy, we have a very wrong view of God. Okay? Okay, we need to realize that God is a sovereign God. Just like if like our President Tony Tan walks in, we will just greet him, we will respect him as the President of Singapore. He's not like just some uncle off the street. Okay, but he is someone of authority that we must respect. So honor more God. Okay, and you know what? Respect for authority is a very, very important principle. Respect for authority, I say again, a respect for authority is a very important principle. Okay, we'll be talking about it. We talked about it before, and I hope it will be a principle in our life. Okay, because if our children don't see respect, or rather if our children cannot learn that kind of respect from the home, all right? And our children choose not to respect authority, they're not going to respect authority outside, all right? And so this is something we need to learn, all right? When we pray, we need to be reverential. Number six, our prayers need to reflect our relationship with God as our Father. He is our Father. As much as we respect and reverence God as the authority, we also thank God that we have a relationship with Him. Every Christian must have a communicating relationship with God. All right. If we find that we don't pray as much, if we find that we always take things into our own hands, we need to learn to have that relationship of prayer with God. Okay, we'll deal with it more during the service. Okay, number seven, our prayers need to be definite and precise. Okay, that simply means we need to pray specifically for certain things that we need. All right, we don't be too general. Number eight, believing, we need to pray with faith, believing, and we need to be watchful as we pray. Okay, then number nine, we look at Jesus' practice of prayer. His life was a spirit of prayer. He chose quiet and solitary places. He continued honor in prayer because something was very important to him. Jesus was never too busy to pray. And before every important thing of faith in his life, he would pray. Okay, we're just going through very quickly. All right? Now we're going to look at some personal application and reflection on prayer. All right? And hopefully it will help us. And one of the things I hope we will learn is to actually put this into practice in our own lives, okay? Number one, all our prayers are to be directed to the Heavenly Father. Because this is what Jesus taught. Because Jesus taught what? When you pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven. Our Father which art in heaven. Okay? And this is explicitly taught by Christ. Now, just thinking, is it wrong to pray, dear Jesus? Is it wrong to pray, Holy Spirit? Is it wrong to pray, dear God? No, there's no clear answer in the Bible, actually. But what we can do is to be very clear. When Jesus says, when you pray, say, our Heavenly Father, then it actually gives us wisdom to just follow why God wants us to pray that way. So when we pray our Heavenly Father or our Father in heaven. Okay, there's some people who choose to pray to Jesus. Nothing wrong with that. He's still God. But it's interesting. The prayers are oftentimes, in the Bible specifically, directed to God the Father. Okay. Number two, all our prayers are to be done in the name of Jesus. This is important because only through Christ can we come to God. Only through Christ can we come to God. He's the mediator. All our prayers are to be done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, and we say that any questions about that as Christians? You know why you pray in Jesus' name, right? Okay, because He's our mediator. Okay, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Okay? In the past, no one has access to God. No one. So in the past, when we pray, dear Jesus, it doesn't work. Because why are you praying to me? You're supposed to go to God the Father. Okay? Jesus is the mediator, and he says the way you go to God is through my mediatorial work, my work of bridging the gap between you and God. All prayers are to be done in the name of Jesus. Okay? But also, we also say that when we pray, our life and our prayers need to be consistent with the name of Jesus. What does that mean? If Jesus is holy, that means there is no sin that can exist. If we pray in Jesus' name, in other words, we are praying in his holy name. In other words, we cannot have sin in our life. We cannot have bitterness in our life. We cannot have anger against someone in our life when we pray. If you're saying you're praying in Jesus' name, as a Christian, you must be consistent with that name, your life. Okay? And also, we pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. All right, there are two types of prayer: fleshly prayers, which God will not hear, and spiritual prayers. Okay, we need to pray in the Spirit. If you want to learn more, basically praying in the Spirit is when our hearts are totally controlled by God, when we are praying with full concentration, with God's honor as our only goal. When the Holy Spirit takes care of our takes control of us, and when we pray, selfishness does not have a part in that kind of prayer. Because we are praying in the Spirit, we're requiring his power. Sometimes we are weak, but we know our dependency is of God. Okay, any questions on that? Okay, so our prayers, all prayers are to be done in the name of Jesus and in the power of the Holy Spirit. So it means practically when you come and pray, practically when you are bowing down and praying in your own room, or you're just sitting down and doing your quiet time, and you are praying, have you ever done this before? You pray kind of, yeah, I forget my maths test tomorrow. Or you're praying, my exam 2 hours later, how? We're not focused on God. We're not letting God control our mind and our thoughts. When we pray, now our mind and our heart is totally given to God. Okay, we need to correct. This really, I mean, as pastor, as I'm reflecting on my own life too, these are actually bad habits that we must correct for our spiritual life to improve. Okay, it is not just a mistake. It is bad habits that Satan continually gives us so that our prayer life will never improve. In other words, we need to actually pray and say, Lord, when I'm praying in your name, Lord, help me to see the sins in my life so that I can clear it out. So that when I pray genuinely in Jesus' name, I'm praying in the holiness of his name. All right, and I'm depending on the Holy Spirit. God, I don't want to pray and fall asleep halfway. God, I don't want to pray and start thinking about my work or my boss or my deadlines later. Lord, I want to pray and give my heart. I pray, Lord, control me even as I pray. Praying in the Holy Spirit. All right? Okay? Any questions? Number 3, we need to be in the Spirit of prayer. We need to be in the Spirit of prayer. The Bible says, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, I believe, pray without ceasing. All right? That doesn't mean you talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk whole day long. Okay? But to be in the Spirit of prayer simply means everything you see, everything you are going to go through, if you look at the cloud, Lord, it's going to rain. Say, Lord, please hold the rain for a while, please, as I go to work, I didn't bring an umbrella or something. Just communicate with the Lord. Always in the Spirit of prayer. The boss gives you a deadline and you know you're supposed to be at a meeting with your family, which is very important. Say, Lord, do something that if I can actually go leave earlier. Yeah. Continuously praying. You know what we continuously do when we face problems? Sometimes as Christians. How many of you do this? When your boss or your teacher you use some Chinese phrase, okay? Or you say, "Ayo, why you like that? Well, yeah, waste my time lah." Rather than saying that, if you do that, you're not in the spirit of prayer. You're in the spirit of what you want to achieve. It's a me life. But when a boss gives you something difficult in your mind, and you know of timing and all that, and your spiritual responsibility, your family, and all that, it's like, You might say something like this, okay? Just a practical manifestation of, Lord, you know it's hard. Lord, time is running out. How am I supposed to do this? Lord, give me wisdom. In other words, everything that you face in life, you direct it up to God. That's a spirit of prayer. Okay, Christians, we need to look at situations not as hindrances to our life, but as opportunities for us to communicate with God. Because many Christians, when they look at anything that hinders, we look at things as hindering our life, what is our natural response? If you're supposed to do this, and then someone comes in and your boss, and you, what will you start to do? Start to let us see. You start to complain. You know why we complain about things? I'll be honest with you, the reason why we complain is because it interferes with my life. That's why God says, do all things without murmuring. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. When we go into a state of complaining about our life, we are living our life, not God's life. However, when we are in the spirit of prayer, things are different. Because we see every opportunity as God wanting us to grow, wanting us to communicate. It's kind of like a child, you know, a child that goes through something in school. You got to, Ma, my friend beat me. What's the child doing? He's communicating with his parent about something that happened to you, to him, right? Or someone, a teenager that comes in and, Dad, I flunked my test. Or something like that. Of course, you won't come to your dad to tell you flunked your test. But I know you're open relationship, you will. It could be that maybe the son, okay, we don't actually score the son. But why? Is it because it's too hard? Because you study the wrong chapter? You know, you can actually identify different reasons. But you know what? The fact that a child will go to a father represents a relationship. You know what's the most scary thing? When children get into trouble, they don't want to go to the parents. That means there is no relationship. Does that make sense? Okay? So when we're in the spirit of prayer, it helps us to maintain the communication. And by the way, God is always there. Amen? He is always 100% there with you. It's whether you want to communicate with Him or not. And that's why we need always to be praying without ceasing. And I hope from today onwards, Christians, you know, one of the things in my heart's heart is that we eradicate complaints from our life and in everything give thanks. Because when you give thanks, you know, you lift your eyes off your situation and put it onto God. Because if you're able to give thanks in all situations, it means you trust the Heavenly Father to do His best for you in every situation, no matter how bad it is. Okay? Some of you know Jeremiah failed his driving test. All right? The second time, he was not feeling well. But I know we're still able to give thanks. Okay? That kind of attitude we need to have. And remember, if we complain, we are actually disobeying Scripture. Because God says, do all things without murmuring. Don't complain. Every situation that God puts in your life is an opportunity for you to direct your prayers back to God. And you know what? It's much easier to live life with God than to live life by yourself. Alright? It's much easier for a child to learn how to ride a bicycle with a parent right beside than the child say, don't worry about me, I can do it now. You know, you fall off and then, I don't care about me. By the time he hasn't learned to ride the bike and he's lots of bruises on his legs. Now it's better, you know, children need to learn to depend on their parents. Okay? And when you grow older, can I say this, if you're most of your teenagers and above, when a child is young, it depends on the parents for their physical, maybe emotional needs. But you know what, teenagers, when you grow up, you need to learn to depend on the wisdom of your parents. Because many children would think that teens that they go through teenage life, they think they know a lot. But truth is, you cannot integrate a lot of information that your parents have already have the wisdom to integrate. Does that make sense? Okay? That's why God put parents over you. Parents, you better need to be in the Word to be able to give your children a biblical approach to life. And I say a biblical approach, not a pragmatic approach, not a practical approach, but a biblical approach. Okay? Because if you give your child a pragmatic approach in life, they will live life without God. Okay? So you need to be very careful. So parents, we need to be in the Word. Alright? So, any questions? We need to be always in the spirit of prayer. Number four, we need to have set times of prayer. We need to have set times for prayer. Okay? I'll just do an invisible survey, alright? You just take in your own heart. Okay? How many of you actually have set times for personal prayer? Don't have to put out your hand. In other words, you have a time set each day that you pray. Whether it's before, before you sleep, or when you wake up, or when for parents, Maybe moms are not working at home. You say when all the, when your husband is out at work, your children are out to school and all that. Okay, there's a time you can just sit down with a cup of coffee or tea or Milo or whatever, you know, and you do a Bible reading and say that's a time, 20 minutes is set time of prayer. Do you have that? We need to have that. Okay, it's not just for mothers, for fathers as well. Do you have that set time for prayer? Children, if you are a Christian, do you have that set time for prayer? You mean I'm going to pray 1 hour? No. Maybe for younger ones, like maybe Joseph, as he's growing up, it'll be okay, I'm going to pray 5 minutes. 5 minutes. 3 minutes? Yeah? 2 minutes? And you know, you actually keep a record. Do you realize the more you pray, after a while you find that there's not enough time. You need more time to pray. No. You need more time to pray. Because the more times, the more you pray, the more dependency it reflects your life on God. If you're convicted by this short, if you do not have time to pray with God the Father, you are living life by yourself. Oh yeah, most of us pray 3 times a day. Breakfast, lunch and dinner. We give thanks for the food. But we need to have set times for prayer. You know why? Mothers, your husbands need your prayer. Specific prayer, not just, oh, help my husband. No, there could be time. And that set time means that every day before God, you bring your husband, your children need your prayers to go to school. Not to be. You see, many of our children are smart. They learn a lot. But you need to pray, God, help them not to learn things not supposed to learn. That deliver my child from evil. Help my child to be open and honest with me if they've done something wrong. Help my child to understand God is with him. Okay? You need to pray for your pastor. You need to pray for your church. You need to pray for the people coming for VBSs. You need to pray for your unsafe loved ones. When are you going to pray unless you set the time to pray? Does it make sense? Oh, Rajani, no worries. I just still... If we are not concentrated in our prayer, it reveals that it's not a priority. We will always set time to do things which is a priority to us. Would you agree? We need to have set time for prayer. Individually. Number two, we need to have set time for prayer as a family. As a family. And fathers, you are to hate this. You are to hate this because you are the priest of the family. And if the husband is not saved, then the wife needs to bring the children together and pray. Okay, that happened in the Bible. Pastor Timothy in the Bible has an unsafe father, but the mom was the one who transferred his faith to the children. Okay, of course, then later on, the dad passed away. So, but there must be set up a family prayer. And children, can you please pay attention? When dad asks you to pray, we come together to pray. If we choose not to, we are contributing to the division of the family. Because Satan wants to destroy every family. That's why the family that prays together will stay together. Okay, and it's very important that we recognize the spiritual implication. If Satan can tear apart the prayer altar of your family, he has won. You know why? You know how many of you have power banks? How many of you carry power banks? One. Okay. Some of you have power banks. Some of you carry 2 power banks. Okay. Some of you must always have connection, right? What makes you think we can live our Christian life without a power bank to God? What makes you think that we can live our family life together in unity without God? Okay? The prayer part in a family, yeah, you eat together, that's good. You do things together, that's good. You go holidays together, that's good. Question is, do you pray together with a heart for God? Because I can tell you, the family will be strongest on his, not in a holiday. In fact, when you go on holiday, you forget about God sometimes. But you know what? The family is strongest on their knees, at least in their hearts. Okay? And you'll prevent tons of problems. You know why? When God is ahead of the house, you're minus many problems. Amen? Because Satan can't get in. Because God has protected the family, and the family is depending on God. Okay? Church. We need to attend set times in church for prayer. Similarly, with individuals, you don't have prayer life. Family, you lose. The church will lose when we're disconnected in our generator to God. Where we put other things more important than prayer life in the church, our church will go down the hill. Okay? Because there's no power. Of course, God is able to take the minutest prayer of the smallest saint and multiply their power. But you know what? In Acts chapter 4, the entire church was together praying. That's why they had boldness in preaching the word. You know what happens when we don't pray together? You know what happens when we don't pray together after a while? We only criticize. Because when our hearts are towards God, we have no criticism. Because we know God's in charge. But when we don't pray as a church, criticism will come in. We need to be careful. That's why Friday night prayer meetings are important. Okay? Friday night prayer meetings are important. Times in your prayer, discipleship group times, it's important when you come together to pray. Okay, I'm highlighting this because it's necessary. No sense having those times to come together to pray when we don't come. Okay? Times for prayer is important and we need to make time for that. In other words, we need to take away, you know, even in your personal and family prayers, there are times that we have to say, I'm tired, but I have to pray. Because if it's important enough for you, you will make time for it. Okay? And then, of course, there are special times. We have in our church fasting and praying. I'm thankful that over the years, people have attended, and I pray that we'll continue to have, and we will continue to have. Okay? A church cannot exist only with prayer. It has to exist with fasting and prayer. All right? That was a pattern of the early church. It must be the pattern of ambassador for the time until Jesus comes. Because the Bible says very clear, Jesus says that, Will the friends of the bridegroom fast when he's around? No. But when he's taken away, then will they fast? Jesus is not back home yet, back here yet. You need to be fasting and praying. Some of you have loved ones that are not saved. Are you fasting and praying about that? Okay, we are fasting and praying. Some of us, we are praying specifically for some people to be saved. But if the church, you don't come together. Okay, we need to have that set time. And we need to give ourselves, plan that time. I'm setting it aside for God. I'll be there to pray. Okay, number five, we need to be faithful both in our private and our public prayers. We need to be faithful in our private prayers and our public prayers. If we're not faithful in our private prayers, chances are we will not see as important public together praying. I know I may be hitting certain things in our lives, but as a pastor, I hope we understand this very important principle. Because when we choose what we want to pray and where we want to go to pray, we're not living the God life, we're living our life. We choose. Private prayers needs to be set, and when you see the importance of private prayers, you will then see the importance of corporate prayer as well. Okay, number six, our prayers must be sincere, must be in sincerity and in truth. If you're praying for something that you don't believe in, chances are, God's not going to answer it. Okay, if you're praying for maybe a direction for your family, you're praying for a direction for the church, you're praying for certain things in certain directions, and after that you kind of forget about it, and then you kind of pray on and off, God can gauge the sincerity of our heart. If something is really important to us, we will keep praying. Would you agree? We will keep following. If something is really important to us, we will keep chasing that. All right. And in business of Singapore life, many times we will be distracted. That's why I believe with all my heart, the way to live a Singaporean Christian life is just planning and doing what you have planned, discipline. Otherwise, we will all succumb to our flesh. Okay? Our prayers need to be sincere, and it has to be in truth. Okay, sincerity and truth. Truth means what? Truth means our prayers must be based on the Bible. What is important to God? Salvation of our loved ones, character change in your own life, speaking in a kind way, etc. If there's unforgiveness, if there's hatred, whatever, you say, Lord, I'm not going to, and I'll ensure that all this is not my life when I pray. That's truth. That's based on God's word. And also, the truth represents the honesty of your life. Honesty of your life. The Pharisees were living double lives. On the outward, their prayers were high and powerful and lofty, and everyone, whoa, what a religious person it is. Jesus is not impressed, because Jesus knew, not that the prayers are not nice, but Jesus saw that the life were not consistent. In other words, their lives were not truthful. Okay? Our lives need to be truthful. Okay? Number seven, our prayers need to be definite and precise. Meaning, when we pray, I was learning something shared with our Wednesday night discipleship group. Many times, how many of you, when you pray, you say something, when you talk about confession of your sin, you say, Father, forgive us all our sins that we've committed. Okay? And this was really an eye-opener as I was hearing the evangelist preach on this. When you confess sin like this, you're not confessing your sin. You're not confessing your sin. Because confession has three principles. One, I'll expound it a little bit more another time, but just 3 points. True confession of sin, number one, it means agreeing with God in a particular thing that you've done. In other words, when you say, God, forgive me my sins, God's going to ask which one. Okay? Maybe for a teenager or someone, yeah, say, God, forgive me for disobeying my dad. I shouldn't have done that. I'm sorry. It's wrong. Number one, in confession, you must agree with God that it is wrong. Okay? Number two, you must forsake that sin. If you don't forsake that sin, it is not genuine confession. In other words, you confess, but you don't mean to. Will God forgive? God will forgive. But God will forgive on his part, but on your part, it's not genuine confession. Because if we confess our sin but have no desire to forsake it, then you're not genuine from your heart. Okay? So there must be an agreeing. So in other words, when you pray, you have to say, God, I'm sorry for stealing my friend's pencil. I'm sorry for dishonoring my mom by shouting at her yesterday evening. I'm sorry for not listening. I'm sorry for not even praying. I'm sorry for not reading my Bible. Very specific, I'm sorry for being disobedient in my life. I'm sorry. When you confess, you have to agree with God that we are wrong there. If you do not have that specific agreement, you haven't confessed your sin. Well, it's an eye-opener. And it opens my eye to the fact that why many Christians are still in defeat. You know why? We do not confess our sins in the way God intended it to be. Example, when you're called to the principal's office, the principal always asks, what do? I punch my friend. You can't come to the principal's office and say, I'm sorry for what I've done. What did you do? No, I'm just sorry, Lord. So what did you do? No, I'm sorry. If you never tell me what you've done, there's nothing to be sorry about. But if you say, I'm sorry, No, I punched my friend because I stepped on my toes and I cannot take it anymore. I give it to him. That's why he's in hospital now, coma, or something like that. And you confess specifically your sin. And with your humility, you say, I'm sorry, I didn't mean it, I just was very angry. You know what? Your principal can help you. And I believe many times, children, we don't confess our sins specifically to our parents. That's why you feel that you can continue. Because there was no genuine heart in that confession. And even in our really, as adults to God, we need to learn that Father, forgive me for all my sins is not good enough. That is not confession. Confession means, Lord, I'm sorry for lying about this situation. I'm sorry for shouting at my boss. I'm sorry for having this malicious thought in my heart. I'm sorry for telling lies to my friend. I'm sorry for hiding the truth. And when we specifically confess those sins, then we have go to the next step. Confession of sin is the first one. Number two, we need to forsake it. If we choose not to forsake that sin, it shows that our heart wasn't in the confession. We're just afraid that we're caught. Okay? Whoso confesses and forsaketh it, Proverbs 28:19, shall have mercy. Okay? Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. You pray that. That's fine. That's fine. I mean, if God brings nothing to your heart, then you just leave it. But you know what? When the psalmist David, interestingly, because if you read before that, David was actually pointing fingers at everyone. God, judge them. You know, imprecation psalms. Judge these people. Judge that person. And later on, say, God, judge me. Okay, that was self-searching. That soul-searching is important. Okay, that prayer is about soul-searching. But if you know about David, in Psalm 51 is his confession. Forgive me for committing adultery. God says, my sin is ever before you, Lord. You know what I've done. He was very open. Does that make sense? Okay. For Sister Charlene's question, that was a soul-searching prayer. I said, Lord, help me. Lord, today, maybe before you say, Lord, is there something that I've done today, Lord, that I shouldn't have done. Please show it to me and I will confess it. God will do that. Okay? So confession of sin specifically, number two, there must be a forsaking of that sin, and number three, there must be acceptance of that forgiveness. Because you know what some people say? After they confess and they try to forsake, but you know their heart is still filled with that guilt. We need to realize that God forgives. And that's important. Okay? A genuine confession encompasses those three things. And when we pray sincerely in that, confessing our sin, we will have a victorious Christian life. And in 1 John is opening, he that walketh in the light, okay, and the definition of walking in the light in relationship to 1 John chapter 1, 7, 8, 9, is that we walk in light when we have no unconfessed sin, that we know. We know that there is nothing that is stopping my relationship with God. That's the definition there. And that's why when we confess, we clear, the darkness is removed, we continue to walk in the light. Does it make sense? All right? I really hope that these 3 points will revolutionize your own relationship with God, because unless we confess our sin, our prayers will never be heard by God. Psalm 66 verse 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. He will not hear me. And that's a condition of prayer. And I believe very much as a church, we need to be confessing our sins as a church as well. Okay? Any questions? Very important. All right? And I hope all of us will take note of this personal point. Because if we are not praying in truth, confessing our sins, if our prayers are not definite and precise, God can't hear. So is there certain things in our life that we know is there and we are not confessing? You know what you need to do? Lord, I'm sorry for whatever. Specific to the point, the context. And then later on, God, I'm going to make it right. You know, there was one. Yes. What? Sorry, again? Sure. Oh, okay. Yes. Oh, definitely to God. He had to get right with. Yeah. Okay, the principle is important now. All sin is against God. All sin in this world is against God. Every wrongdoing, everything. When I hurt someone, I'm hurting God. All sin is against God. So first confession is to God. But you know what? Embedded in the confession, because you've wronged someone, confession must be done to the person too. Confession is always two-way. If you steal and all these moral sins against God, only to God. Okay? But if you hurt someone through your words, maybe you curse that person or you lie to that person in a CHC situation, they've offended the church because it betrayed their trust. Firstly, the church needs to know whose money is there in the first place. They betrayed the whole the name of Christ is brought into disrepute because of the whole situation. So you need to confess to God. Amen. Yeah. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. So remember, confession. All sin is against God. So first confession is to God. You know what then God requires us to do? And go and deal with that person that you have offended or you have been offended by and refuse to forgive. Okay? So confession is always to God. It's to men. Alright, reconciliation is only not to God. Some people say, no, God, I'll get right with God, but don't tell me to get right with men. No. Okay? This evangelist, and I believe it's true from the scriptures, when we are not right with men, we are not right with God. I say again, when we are not right with men, we are not right with God. That's a heavy truth, but that is the truth of the Bible. That's why some people have to live hiding some things. Our life needs to be open before God. Okay? So, but on the positive side, when we pray specifically, it means, God, please save my in-laws. God, please, you know, in this situation, I know Jeremiah, our family prayed specifically, God, help him to pass. He didn't pass. Wasn't God's will at that time. Yeah, a bit of discouragement here and there, but you know what, God, they say, it's one more chance. Okay, you got 3 chances. Say, God, I pray you help him to pass. I'm going to do what we can, you know, try to get a driving instructor, whatever, to help him. Because what happened was, the last driving test he had was in September, I think early September, then after he had no driving practice until, say, 6 weeks of no driving, then suddenly 4 hours of practice and then go to test. Okay, and it was too bad that he didn't have a very good tester. That was very, very strict. So, but we're praying that if we have a driving instructor, they can take him at least a few lessons before that. It will help him for the third one. We're praying specifically, God didn't answer that prayer. That's okay with us. God has his total prerogative. If we fail, because of that, then we leave it to God. God has his best timing. Yeah. Of course, we need to help We have to cope with that, but you know, it's part of our growing. And we have to learn it's okay for God to say no. We need to come to a place in our Christian life when God says no. Say yes, Lord. Your will be done. Alright? Okay, we need to pray specifically. For parents, do you have specific prayers for your children? Do you pray, for example, Lord, I want my daughter to live for Jesus Christ. Lord, I want my daughter. This interesting. This evangelist actually was challenging the group of people who was he was preaching to. He says, don't pray for your children to have a career. Pray for your children to have a ministry. Because career, the world will give. I mean, it's part of your growing and training. But pray for your children to have a ministry. A ministry of love to people, a ministry of care, somewhere that he can serve God in. Okay, specifically. You know what God will answer that kind of prayer? Because it's so precise and specific. Alright? Point 8, we need to pray with faith. We need to pray believing. We need to pray believing. Alright? The Bible says, Hebrews 11 verse 6, what does the Bible say? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Okay, the word is impossible is in the absolute negative. No way out. You are not going to please God at all if you have no faith. Okay? We need to pray believing. Alright, what does it mean to pray believing? Number one, you need to know God's promises on the situation. You know how we pray many times? It's reflective of my own prayer life sometimes. I'm not so definite. And because I'm not so definite, I don't actually think about the verses regarding the situation. I'm very definite about one thing, the salvation of my loved ones. God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come. So I'm praying, God, save my in-laws. You promise you will. And God, I'm trusting you. And we're doing all we can to try to reach them. But God, you need to do your part. Save them. And God will answer that kind of prayer. All right? Okay? We need to be praying, believing. And we're entertaining thoughts. You know, sometimes we pray for our loved ones and say, no use praying for them. They're so steep into all these kind of things. They won't. The moment you entertain that, God says, you don't believe me. Okay, there was one situation I think I shared before. It's really, really telling. There was one child who brought a broken toy to the father. And every time he brought the broken toy to the father, and the father was doing something, he said, Pa, no. He take it back again. Then the father said, okay, Lord, you do, Lord. Then Pa, can you help me? Because he can't do. Then later on, after a while, the dad was trying to fix it. Then he take it away again. Then dad said, hey, if you know how to do it, then okay, I don't have to do anything. Then in the end, okay, I'll give you. Finally, he just stepped. Because he knew that he couldn't handle it anymore. And in the end, the toy was fixed. Why? Because the dad dealt with it. No, we pray. Just imagine prayer like a balloon. Okay? Just imagine prayer like a balloon. When we pray, you know, let's imagine prayer like a helium balloon. Okay? Do you pray holding on to the string? Or do you pray, Lord, you take control, letting it go? You know why the Jews, one of the reasons given, you know why they pray like this? Not yoga or Buddhism. You know why they pray like this? Clean hands, number one. Clean hands. You don't pray like this. Clean hands. Number two is, God, we are depending on you to fill these hands. Our dependency on God. Prayer is dependency. Prayer is saying, I can't handle life, Lord, I need your help. There are many people in this world who think they can, fine. And if you check their lives, there are some tragedies, or not tragedies, some difficulty or catastrophes that's happened because of their decision. It's when we need to pray believing that God will intervene. Okay? We need to pray with faith. Point number 9, we need to pray obeying. We need to pray obeying. When we pray for something and our heart is not obedient to God, God's not going to answer our prayer. God's very clear on that. Okay? So we need to pray obeying the Lord. Alright, number 10, we need to pray persevering. Persevering in the praying life. Okay? We need to pray without ceasing. Okay? Because a good illustration, when the child comes out to someone and say, Dad, maybe Adele will come. Okay, sweet, sweet, sweet. Then he said, wait. Then after that, she runs away and play. Oh, you don't want sweet? Okay, I keep. If she's not serious about that, Okay? However, if she'll keep, give me sweet, 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 give me sweet. Okay, lah, I'll give you lah, I'll go away. You know? That's the point that God wants us to learn, that when we persevere in prayer, in fact, God wants to hear our prayers. There was one story which is very interesting. In heaven, there's this person who went to heaven, dreamt that he went to heaven, and he was going through this road with God, and then he saw a special room with some packages wrapped in, nicely wrapped packages. And then the person stopped God and said, God, what's that? Oh, those are answers to prayer that I wanted to send, but it wasn't persevered through in prayer. And the evangelist was saying, God is more ready to answer our prayer than we are to persist in our prayer. You know, for us as parents, we need to persist in our prayer for our children's holiness. You know, one thing, if you find the scriptures, God talks nothing about advancement in this world. Would you agree with me? In the Bible, God talks nothing about advancing ourselves in this world. And yet the trend of Christians' life today is to advance ourselves in this world. And you know why? And you know what happens? You get frustrated. Because your faith in Christ and your practice of the world is inconsistent. And after a while, people leave church. They leave the faith. Why? Not because they don't believe in Christ, but they choose a certain direction that is not in line with the Bible. Okay? So we need to be very clear. We need to be obeying and persevering. And number 11, we need to pray prepared. Prepared means what? This is a practical practice of prayer. When you're about to pray, make sure you are awake and not going to fall asleep. This is a practical practice of prayer. Alright? Make sure that you don't get too comfortable. How many of you pray lying on your bed? No one has to put your hand. Alright? You know what happens? You say amen the next morning. You know, I've learned sometimes you need to pray sitting down. Okay, three postures of prayer. Flat, okay, which is what the Jews do, standing up or sitting down. Three postures of prayer in the Bible. Okay, adopt these three, you won't fall asleep. Maybe the bottom one. By the way, when you're lying down, when you're lying down, they are spread and it's on the cold floor, not on your bed. Say, God, I'm just spread out. It's supposed to be on the cold floor, and that's what they do in the temples, is sprawl themselves out in total submission to God. That's the attitude they have. Alright? And when you pray, prepare yourself, meaning you need to have a list of things you need to do in the prayer. Okay, it may sound a bit mechanical, but if you don't prepare yourself, after a while you drift and you close the prayer very quickly. Alright? I specifically itemize some things that you want God to answer. If you don't have any requests and God says, fine, I have interaction with you after that, you have no request. Alright, we need to be supplicating for people and always praying for others as well. Okay? Have a heart of faith and believe. Okay, all these are already there. Any questions? Okay. In personal practice, once again, just expand a bit more. We can confess our sin of prayerlessness to God. Okay, we have not. Some of you may feel, Roger, I haven't set times to pray. I'm not faithful in public prayer. I don't even want to pray. You need to firstly confess, Lord, I'm sorry that I didn't set time to pray with you. Lord, I'm sorry that praying is not so important. But Lord, I agree with you. You are right, Lord. Prayer is so important. I'm confessing this sin and ensuring that I set times. And Lord, I know I can't pray much, but you know what, Lord, I'll set aside 5 minutes a day. In the morning when I wake up, lunch, and whatever, and you slowly increase that. And I can guarantee you, the more you pray, the more you want to pray. Because it's just a relationship with God. Confess your sin. Ask Him to fill you with the Holy Spirit as you aim to pray faithfully. You cannot depend on your own strength to pray. You know, some people say, I am going to pray faithfully. You fail. But I say, God, help me. I decided that it is wrong that I don't have a set time to pray. I'm going to have set times to pray. But God, I need your help. Okay? Set a time, set a place, and then go there and pray. Alright? Be very specific with God. Alright, any questions? And I really hope that this will be practiced because it's a key to the unity, the holiness, and the growth of you personally as a Christian and you collectively as a family and us collectively as a church. When we choose not to come, it's a decision that God also registers in heaven. That when other things are more important than prayer, as a family, as an individual, as a church, then there are other things that God says your heart's not in there. Okay? But may I encourage those who do come, the Bible says when two or three are gathered in your name, then am I in the midst of them. You know what it tells me? God doesn't care how many people as a church. You come and pray. Or if, as long as there's two or three with the heart, He's there. That's an encouragement for the local church. And you know what? By God's grace, the powerhouse and ambassador on Friday nights will keep on going. Do you realize your life, Sunday, Bible hour, Sunday school, Chinese church, discipleship, FBI, and everything is dependent on praying? Every of this. Alright? So we need to take note of that. Any questions? Okay, I'm going to touch on a very, very important topic before we close the whole area of Jesus' teaching on prayer. What if God does not answer our prayer? Okay, let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Alright, this is the last part on prayer. What if God doesn't answer our prayer? And we'll take one incident from the life of Christ that God did not answer His prayer. We have a biblical perspective of that. What if God does not answer our prayer? Hopefully for those who are ministering to others or those who are going through things, that God seems to be silent. Alright? I was very excited when I was watching a video about Joseph's life and one of the things that was said, God's silence doesn't mean God's absence. God's silence does not mean God's absence. Another Christian writer wrote many times, just because there's rain doesn't mean the sun is not shining. Okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 to 9, Paul was saying this, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. Paul was given revelations of heaven. Paul went to heaven, by the way. 2 Corinthians 12 says very clearly, he went to heaven. He saw things that God says he's not supposed to tell anyone. And I believe with that motivation in his heart, all the more he preached Christ. Okay? But Paul said, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh. Something to 刺激他, literally poke him, literally irritate him. A thorn in the flesh. It was a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. And for this thing I besought the Lord three times, thrice, meaning in prayer, Lord, please take away this messenger of Satan. Something is affecting me, Lord, please take it away, please take it away, please take it away. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Okay? In this particular passage, the Lord, you can also see a similarity in the life of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 39, let me just read there. The Bible says, and he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not I will, but as thou will. The Lord Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. Gethsemane means olive press. Olive press. Gethsemane has the idea, the whole mountain, it was a mount of olives, and full of olive trees. In Gethsemane was a garden where there were many olive presses. The olive presses, they will pluck out the olive, put it in the middle, kind of like we make our soybean today, and it's a huge stone, and the idea is to crush the olive. And the Lord Jesus Christ at that point was symbolic of the fact he was being crushed by the sin of this world. Alright, he was crushed by the coming death on the cross, and as he was being crushed, he prayed, God, do I really have to go through this? If it is possible, I pray that I will not have to go through this. That was his prayer. Do you agree with me? And Jesus would say, God, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Lord, why should I suffer for the sins of this world? Why should I separate from you, Lord? Let me ask you a question. Did God say anything that night? Did God say anything that night? God did not say anything that night. God did not say anything that night. God silenced. God was silent at that time. And this was important because many Christians, when we go through life and prayer, okay, Let me say this. The Lord Jesus Christ, let's give you a background. The Lord Jesus Christ was faithful in his ministry. Would that be true? The Lord Jesus Christ was faithful in everything that God told him to do. He was obedient. He was submissive. He stood for truth. He loved. He forgave. He helped. He healed. Everything that God required of him, he did. Number one, in our prayer life, that needs to be the place. But God, that needs to be our background of our life before we ask for prayer. Or rather, we pray knowing that God will answer. Okay? We need to be a place where we are completely in submission to him. So when we are completely submission, then the next part is, how come God still don't answer his prayer? God could have done that. God could have done that. But you know, God was silent at night. But you know what? The Lord Jesus knew the answer. Jesus knew the answer. He actually knew the answer. And the answer is, no. I cannot get you out of this. Why? Because of us. Alright? When God did not answer Jesus' prayer, in terms of his outcomes, what was the outcome? If God took Jesus out of the crucifixion, if God actually answered Jesus' prayer and took the cup out, what would happen? What would happen? What would happen? What would happen? We'll go to hell, yeah? Some more? We'll lose our salvation, what else? The wrath of God is still upon this world, what else? The entire humanity is doomed to a Christless eternity. Okay? Now, when you think of that, I'll just read what I had. The history of this world would have been so different if God answered the prayer of Gethsemane and gave the Lord Jesus what he wanted at that time. For the cup to pass, you and I will be in hell, all of humanity. We need to understand, when we pray for something, when God doesn't answer our prayer, or we feel that he's silent, number one, remember, God's silence doesn't imply he's absent. For if you read in the book of Luke, the Bible says, after Jesus was agonizing, the blood was flowing from his head, guess who came? God sent the angels to strengthen him. Strengthen him to go through what he's supposed to go through. Does that make sense? And may I, as an aside for the youth, sometimes you feel that you're so oppressed, you know, you have to live under authority, and the Bible says it's good for a young man to bear his yoke in the youth. Lamentations chapter 3. Okay? Now, going back to 2 Corinthians 12 verse 7 to 4, there are four things. As Paul had a thorn in the flesh, and many people believe that Paul had an eyesight problem. He couldn't see properly. All right. Many of the other passages in Galatians, and I believe in the end of Galatians also, talking about how make the manuscripts, how big the handwriting is, because Paul couldn't see properly. Okay, and Paul says, God, please help me to see properly so that I can do your work more effectively. And guess what God says? No. No. Okay, why no? Number one, just four lessons Paul learned, and I hope we can, number one, to deal with character flaws in Paul. You know what's Paul's main character flaw? What do you think was Paul's character flaw? Brother Johnny, that's sacrilegious. Apostle Paul got flaws? Yes, he has. He personally confessed that. What was his flaw? Lest I should be exalted above measure. What was his character flaw? Pride. Pride. And Paul recognized that. He says, that's why God says, don't you tell anyone what you saw. In fact, I put a thorn. Lest you should be exalted above measure. And God sent a messenger of Satan so that Paul will be kept humble. Paul recognized that. Number one, to deal with character flaws. If God says no to your prayer, God is in the process of dealing with your character flaws and mine too. Number one. Number two, to realize our deep dependency of Christ. Because the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul says, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for me, for thee, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. Okay. Paul recognized his weakness. Paul says that if you submit your weakness to me, I'll turn it into a strength. And Paul evangelize the world in the power of Christ. Okay, so deal with character flaws with reality dependency. Number three, to allow God's power to rest on us. And he says, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. When we confess our sin, we acknowledge our dependency on Christ, then the power of God can come. When we surrender and say, Dad, I can't handle this. Can you help me? Yes, I can. After you do it, you fix it, you give it back to the child is fully confident again. Amen? You may not have fixed the plan. It was God who fixed it. But you know what? You go out confident again. Why? You have the things fixed and you can face the world again. Alright? Okay? And last point, to let God's grace work in our hearts. Okay? My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. To let God's grace work in our hearts. Okay, God sometimes do not answer our prayer because he's looking at the bigger plan. Important that through you, that he might accomplish his will. Question for you, are we willing to let God accomplish his plan through us? Or will we say, like the first Adam, when God says, don't eat of the fruit, they say, no, it is good, it is pleasant to the eyes, and it is to make me wise. And Adam and Eve took it. Will we actually say to ourselves, no, God, I want my way, and also I take the fruit. Or will we like be like Lord Jesus Christ and say, Lord, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Okay? And yet, if we remain a demon, not willing to allow him to work things out, then the history of your life. Interesting, and this is actually a very big part, because many of us, some of us may be praying for certain things, we'll be praying for God to answer, but it seems that God's not answering. But interesting, Paul says that I besought the Lord 3 times. In other words, Paul asked 3 times specifically. And for Paul to ask 3 times is actually quite a marvel, because every time he prays, God answers his prayer mightily. But now he has to beg God again and again and again. He realized after a while of praying these 3 times, the idea of the 3 times has the idea of a limited period of time. In other words, some people keep praying, we hope that God will still give, but actually God, hey, you're missing the point. I'm not answering because there's certain other direction I want you to take. Many Christians waste their lives basing their lives on false hope, not supported by scripture, believing that God will answer prayer in that particular area that they want. But God says, no, I've never said that. In fact, the reason why I'm not answering is so that I'll deal with the character flaws in your life. Or firstly, submission in complete surrender to me first. Okay? So, and I like this pastor was writing as he finished this whole area of this lesson. He's saying, if we pray and we are adamant about a certain direction in our life, then the one that writes the pages of our history is not God, it's ourselves. And when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ as believers, we have our own book to give to God, which to God, he's going to judge us out of his book. And that's why our lives need to always be in submission to him. Does that make sense? The Christian life is a choice. And we'll talk more about it in the Sunday school, in the service. Any questions? Hopefully it helps us to see when Jesus prayed, his life was a life of submission. And you know, the practical steps of our prayer life that I've given to you, hopefully it will be practiced. Okay, don't use this as, you're not praying, you don't have set time. We don't want a situation where we use this to judge each other, because we're all sinners before God, and we need God to be, we need to be in communication with him at all times. Alright, any questions on the Christ teaching of prayer? Let me ask you as we close, are you praying? Teenagers, are you interested in praying? Can I say this? Teenagers, are you listening? You need to build your life on prayer. You need to build your life on prayer. Oh, Brother Johnny, that's only for the old fuddy-duddies like yourself and the monks. No. Jesus said, when ye pray. In other words, he's expecting us to make it a habit. You need to build your life on prayer. The world is so distracting. I'm going to finish soon, but this is the trend of the young people's life. When it's time to pray versus a group of friends asking you to go and play, generally where do young people go? They go to the group of friends to play. You know why? That's more enjoyable. Pray. Oh, yeah. But pastor say I have an attitude of prayer can already, so I'm going to play basketball. God help me to score. You know? No, it's not the point. I can say this. I was a teenager once. I always wanted to go with the crowd. Because it's more fun, right? It's more, what you call engaging. It's more, I feel, after that, all my adrenaline is high. I scored 3 goals and all that kind of thing. When it's time to pray, we feel tired. You know why? We need to have that relationship with God. And can I say this? Your whole life is not based on your basketball game or your soccer game or your whatever game. Your whole life is based on your relationship with Christ, because ultimately He's the one who gave you life, and He's the one who wants to communicate with you so that your life, the abundant life, can be clearly manifested. Would you be a better prayer? P-R-A-Y hyphen E-R. Would you be a better person who pray in the next 3 weeks to 1 month? If you would put this consistently in your life and make a decision right now, say, God, forgive me. I confess that I've not been praying. I will set time to pray. And you, if you don't, Pastor Johnny, what do I pray? Pray for your own, confess your sins, number one. Praise God for who He is. Pray for your parents. Your parents need your prayer. Pray for your dad, pray for your mom. Maybe they have an illness, maybe they have a big thing they need to do. Pray for them. And then after that, pray for your siblings, and pray for your church, and pray for the loved ones in your family that's not saved. You know, if you pray that alone, now it'll take you 5 to 10 minutes really. There's no shortage of prayer requests. And after that, thank God for it. And write down in the book. But Brother Johnny, I don't feel like praying. I've learned one thing. What you feel at the judgment seat is not a reason for not obeying God, number one. Number two, what you feel reflects what you want rather than what someone else wants. Number three, when you choose to say, I don't feel like praying, you are saying, my thoughts are more important than a prayer for my family before God. You know, it indicates what? It indicates, once again, a me life. And I'm hoping that through this lesson that will drop us being uncomfortable about ourselves in this most vital area of prayer. Because our Savior spends so much time in prayer, it's not funny. He even gave up His sleep to pray. Why? Because He saw the importance and the implication for the persons that He will be praying for. In John chapter 17, read Jesus' prayer. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ, in His prayer, if you think through it carefully, just say one thing: glorify thou me with the glory that I had before when I had with you. That's all. And you know what the rest of His prayer? You know, He was praying for Himself when He goes, no wrong, He was praying for His disciples who will go through the persecution. And guess what? He was praying for us. Did you know Jesus was praying for us when He was in Gethsemane? In John 17, He was praying for us today, 2,000 years ago. Later, He was praying for us that we will still be strong in the faith. And if our Savior cares enough to pray for us, let's at least have some heart to pray for our parents, our loved ones. All right? Okay? Let's have a word of prayer. Then we'll close. Father, I know that many of us are in a reflective mode with regards to this area. Heavenly Father, I pray that being reflective but yet not coming to a conclusion, Lord, will not achieve anything. I pray for every father in this room that they will set time to pray themselves. They will set time to pray with the families. And they will set time to pray whenever the church is together to pray as the Bible teaches us. I pray for every mother that they will set time to pray by themselves. They will set time to pray with their families together with the husbands. And our Lord, I pray also together with the families. And when the church is together, they will also make time to come. For Father, without prayer, there is no power. And we know that. But Lord, help us to believe that. And help us to confess our sins with regards to that. And then help us to act on that. Heavenly Father, I pray for every teenager to see the importance of prayer. Lord, I can only teach it from your word. But Father, only you, Father, can gently impress it on our hearts. I pray for every teenager to grow up with a love of praying, love of seeking your face. And that God, they will make use of every opportunity they have to spend time in fellowship with you. Heavenly Father, thank you for what you're going to do. And I pray Ambassador Baptist Church will not only be a church that evangelizes, but will be a church that prays, as the early church did. Lord, I pray you bless every visitor, every friend, every member that's come. And prepare our hearts, Lord, for the message you have for us too in the Sunday worship service. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.